isn't Graceland in Memphis?
Yep.
And then old Grand Ole Opry is Nashville.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know. Tennessee is all
remember this setup. I'm going to see if I can make a tie-in at the end of today.
Great. I'll put a pin in it. I'll write it on a notepad and bring it back up.
How come everything, like, it seems like your default is Cosby? At one point in your life, was your default impersonation Cosby?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, when I was doing improv, that's all. I was known for my Cosby. Like, if there was a scene, and
we're
it's
taking
like,
that out of context.
Yeah. Yes. I put things in ladies' drinks during our shows.
Welcome to Make Me Like This, where Brandon and I try to convince each other to like things that we don't think the other person's going to immediately take to. And today, the thing I'm going to make Brandon like is Masked Singer. The Masked Singer.
The Masked Singer.
Yes.
Interesting. Interesting.
It had its premiere last night, I think. At least I watched
the
episode.
Last night was the second episode.
Was it the second episode?
There's two episodes overall. Funny enough, I was bored and I watched the second half of that episode. So
of
it was
last
the second,
night?
Yes. So I have enough of a framework and an understanding of it to speak to it.
And I saw the second half of the episode, maybe even a little less than half of the second episode, and I felt like, I'm gonna make Brandon like this because I'm such an expert.
Yes. I started watching at the Pineapple Man singing. Did you see that?
I saw a little bit before the Pineapple Man singing.
All right. So we started right about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And my reaction to that one was like, okay, there's this, they give you the clues beforehand, like to kind, like during this like opening package before they sing,
mm-hmm.
these are the clues that's going to help you determine who this person is. Mm-hmm. And they showed a Michigan license plate and it said, and he's not a very good singer. I was like, oh. It's Kid Rock. And then the Pussycat Doll lady said, oh, I think it might be Kid Rock for different reasons. But I'm like, can't sing, from Michigan, Kid Rock.
Nicole
Scherzinger. Yeah.
So
she was in Pussycat Dolls.
Yes.
That's what made her famous, I believe.
And it's more appropriate to call her the
Pussycat Doll lady
that can sing.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the rest of them just did
the chorus.
Do you
know any of the other the Pussycat Doll names?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
But in reality,
Ginger Spice.
They created that act around her.
Did they?
And they thought she would be more successful with a group. I could be just completely BSing.
Maybe.
But that's my recollection.
Got a lot of Pussycat Doll knowledge.
Yeah. During my Pussycat Doll era in my life.
Wait, what would a Pussycat Doll fan be?
I don't even know. It doesn't have a type, does it?
Yeah.
I mean, time has eroded that.
I think just douchebag
knowledge. I don't. Now it's kind of ironic. Like if you
now
be
it's
like
looking back at the Spice Girls, it's like, oh yeah,
you remember
isn't
that
nice?
That Pussycat Doll and Ludacris collaboration?
Yeah,
that was pretty dope. If someone said that to me, I'd be like, you have an insane amount of niche knowledge.
Yeah,
and I love you for it.
And you were very active in the club scene in 2002 to 2004.
So just to back up a little bit. If you're not familiar with The Masked Singer, it's hard for me to say The Masked Singer.
The Masked, it doesn't roll off the tongue
no.
very well, no.
It is basically The Voice. Instead of having actual singing competition, mm-hmm. they have celebrities dress up in costumes that include big masks.
Giant masks.
And they have them battle each other in song.
Right.
And they come out and basically do karaoke renditions of songs.
And that's in their own voice. Every other time that they speak on the show, they're masking their voice. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, adding a high pitched, you know, effect to it. So you can't tell what they're talking. But when they're singing, it's their own voice. Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, let me tell you the aspects of the show that I do not want to focus on making you like.
Yeah.
The judges.
Mm-hmm.
I am not interested in making you liking the judging component of this.
Yeah. Although I will say, Ken Jeong is one of my favorite people.
Oh, really?
One of my favorite. I would say comedic actors out mm-hmm. there. I think he's a good dude. I mean, I've been following him, you know, because he was on Community, right? And so I've been, you know, following his movie career, and you know, he's in Hangover, he was in Community, he was in he's been in a. I've had enough exposure to him that I just really like him and enjoy him both as a person, his story. You know, he was a medical doctor that played a doctor in Knocked Up, and then
I never knew he was an actual doctor.
He's an MD. Yeah, he was a practicing doctor.
Does he still practice?
No.
Why would you?
Yeah. That would be like a huge, huge pay cut. But he, you know, he was a practicing doctor, did stand up on, you know, nights and weekends, you know, for fun, was discovered by Judd Apatow, put into Knocked Up as the obstetrician of the main character, had some scenes, and then they put him in Hangover as the naked man that jumps out of the trunk. And he's just been in so many things, but super hilarious, fully commits to everything he's in, over the top, funny, but also like on the side, he's just like a really good dude. Mm-hmm. You know, seemingly, right?
Yeah.
You know, we only know what we know, but he just seems like a real, genuine, down-to-earth dude. I really like him. The other ones I could...
Well, maybe I should just start with all the things I don't want to convince you of, and okay. You can just convince yourself that that's an abnormal thing. It wasn't so much to sell you on the celebrities or anything like that, because for the most part, they're B-list and non-compelling.
Well, that we know of, right? They've only revealed two.
Sure. Right? Well, the amount of judges?
No, the revealing of the celebrities. You're talking about the celebrity judges. Okay.
The judges themselves. Yeah. So let's veer away from the judges. Sure.
Yep.
The aspect that I really appreciate about it is that in your home, it can be more, it's like an interactive viewing experience.
Yeah.
Because ultimately what it comes down to is seeing if you can listen more than you see. And with you and your spouse or you and your kids or whoever's in the room with you, mm-hmm. making a guess at the celebrity based upon those clues, which I think some are misleading.
Yeah.
But mostly listening to that voice and seeing if you can sort it out.
Right.
The other aspect of it is got on my phone.
Yeah.
Went on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And started following the hashtag.
Yes.
And that was fun seeing people's different predictions there.
Yeah.
Because they were like more serious, like, I think it's this because of this and everything like that. Where mm-hmm. I felt like the judges were almost like just randomly guessing at stuff. Like their guesses like almost seemed insulting to me. Except what was crazy about the pineapple is first off, kudos to Tommy Chung
mm-hmm.
for... If he selected it, I don't know if he selected his song, but the cake version mm-hmm. of I Will Survive worked well with him
because you don't have to actually sing
limited range,
right?
But yet still sounded pretty cool. Like, I like cake and I hadn't listened to it in a while,
yeah.
So it was kind of cool to hear that. But I knew it was Tommy Chung when I heard him. He's the only person that I was like that, like, sure of,
yeah,
that it was him. And it was driving me crazy. Like, I can't believe I was yelling. I was yelling at the TV. I was like, it's not Cheech.
Right.
It's not Cheech. Because, like, his voice is pretty recognizable, and he was basically talking for that version.
Sure.
But my guess is that Tina Turner's the Bumblebee.
The Bumblebee?
I think it's
Gladys Knight.
You think it's Gladys Knight?
Gladys Knight. But it's
either Tina Turner, Gladys Knight, or... Jeez, why am I forgetting Diana Ross?
Diana Ross, yeah.
But it's, to me, it was like really fun to have this conversation with Julie. Mm-hmm. And we were like, again, past episodes, you know, I'm like trying to improve engagement and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Here I had my phone at my disposal, but it was appropriately slotted
mm-hmm.
As a resource rather than the focal point of my attention. And me and my wife were having this great, like
debate
about like who it is, but it's more than just debate. Like, I would say something, she'd be like, oh, that mm-hmm. could be. And then she would say something, I'd be like, oh, that could be.
Yeah.
And then when it was Tommy Chung, it wasn't like any bragging rights. Like, I wasn't like, yeah, I told you so.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, yeah, like, it was good that we figured that out. So yeah. It was like this, like, group quest that,
sure.
that we were on. So I, let me sum up. I walked into the room from doing the laundry, and she was watching it, and she said, we can watch this if you want, or we can change it. And I was like, I want to see what this is about. And I sat down, mm-hmm. and I was pleasantly surprised because I thought all the previews looked really dumb.
Yeah.
And it ended up being more engaging than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I was drawn in by the costumes, right?
Yeah.
We canceled cable, so for on some of the TVs, you know, if we do Hulu for content, but if it's anything that can come over the air, like Fox, CBS, NBC, ABC, we tend to watch it on the antenna. We've got a digital tuner, so it comes in crystal clear, and we're not using our data, right? We got a cap of data per month from Comcast, so to minimize the impact on that, if we can watch something that's on one of the networks that's live, we'll watch it on that. So the thing that I was watching probably last on that was on Fox, on that channel. Turned off the TV. So
last Fox household.
I wouldn't say, not since they moved Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Hey, new episode tonight. So I turned on the TV because I was looking for something to watch. I was bored. And it happened to be on Fox. And it happened to be this costume that Tommy Chong was wearing, which had like ripped fake abs and then like this like really like happy looking pineapple head and surfer. It was just like, I was like, oh yeah, this is that thing that they were talking about. Some of our colleagues were talking to me about it yesterday, like saying, oh, you got to watch this. I'm like, if you say I got to watch something, nothing turns me off more than saying you need to watch this because it's never going to live up to expectations and I'm going to hate that person. But I was bored, and I was drawn into the visual aspect of this costume. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give this a minute to just see what it's about, since I don't have to take any effort or energy to find this thing that people were talking about. It was already on, the channel was already on, and it wasn't a commercial, it was in the middle of it.
We were in similar situations then.
Right.
This is cool.
Right. But this is how TV used to work, right? It was like
that's
one of the four
thing
channels.
That I was thinking about is like there was tremendous value to watching this live, in my opinion.
Right. Because that the Twitter, the social aspect of it wouldn't be as readily apparent after the fact, right? Because like and even if you're on the West Coast, you're on social media, you're following that hashtag, you already see people saying, oh, that's Tommy Chong. And, you know, like, it's a different experience. But for those on the East Coast who watch it live, there's like a group aspect of it, right? There's the collective discovery process and like seeing what other people are saying. Here's what I think about this. I think that for the same reasons that you you noted, it was visually appealing. It kept my interest. Mm-hmm. You know, it kept my interest enough to finish out that episode. I think, would you say we watched 2/3 of it or half of it maybe or something like that?
I don't know. The battle before that was on when I started watching, so it. Whenever you started watching, I might have been maybe 10, 15 minutes.
I saw it
earlier.
So they do like pairs, and I think there was 3 pairs of battles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw 2 of the 3. So
I must have saw more of the episode than I thought.
Yeah, you probably did. The judges aspect of it. I don't even know if you can call it judges because they're more like contestants because they're guessing who and they're really not even guessing, right?
Sure.
But there's zero value to that. Even though I like Ken Jeong, they're throwing out stuff like, oh, well, you know, he's from Hawaii, maybe it's Barack Obama, and then they show a picture of Barack Obama. It's like, no, it is not Barack Obama. You're providing no value. Right?
It's almost like they're there to make it feel like it's one of these singing competitions.
That absolutely could be.
And I feel like it's not necessary. It's almost like when Seth Meyers started his show by standing up, and eventually they were like, let's just put you at the desk.
Yeah, this is what you're good at. This is what you're known for.
This is what this is. Let's make it what it is instead of trying to make it something that looks like everything else.
Yeah, sure. Sure. I mean,
Seth Meyers is way more talented than anyone else on that panel. But
sure.
My point is just the format more than it is the people.
Yeah, yeah. So this morning I came in and I told that colleague who told me, oh, you got to watch this, this is a good show. I said, hey, okay, so I watched it. I can see why people like it. But much like how we consume other media like Jimmy Fallon, mm-hmm. and SNL and stuff, we watch it the next day on YouTube. So I can get a much better, I can get every good nugget out of this show, everything enjoyable out of this show by YouTube and say, show me the clues and show me the singing and then show me when they take off their mask. Everything else, there's a lot of fluff. I mean, of course, it's network TV. There's a lot of fluff. Then you got to wait for commercials and stuff.
Sure.
I want to see, okay, show me the little package of clues, and I can get a sense of like, okay, what kind of, you know, this is an old person, this is a young person, this is a singer, this is an athlete, this is an entertainer. And then they sing, and I'm like, okay, I think it's this. And then I want to see that mask come off and say, am I right? I don't want to wait, and it could be 6 weeks before we find out who the B person is, right? And that's brilliant from a producer's standpoint because they've created this cultural phenomenon that people are talking about, right? That's a hard thing to do.
The B is going to be the last one off.
Probably,
and,
yeah.
And then in theory, the B is going to be this cultural icon probably.
Yeah, and
I mean, if it's one of the three people that we talked about, they're cultural icons.
Of course, yeah. And there's going to be, you know, the bigger celebrities held for the last, right? Yeah, that's the thing that people stick around for. They want to satisfy that curiosity of, you know, sure. even like, I think, so last week, I didn't watch it, but I know that the person who was unmasked was Antonio Brown, a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
So
I didn't even know that.
I'm like, sure. So Antonio Brown, Tommy Chong, this is a star, as star-studded as Dancing with the Stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lady Gaga is not going to be under one of those costumes, right? I wouldn't think.
So here's the thing. I want to take this part that you're talking about right now because I think that might be the most significant thing in convincing you.
Yeah.
Is this, should it be drawn out like this? I'm used to things not being drawn out anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me what I'm interested in and make it a short YouTube length interaction.
Yes.
So I can have all the value of this stuff. I can let the internet mine the gems for me, and I can see just the videos that are the most significant and then mm-hmm. see the reveal
yeah.
and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
What that makes me think of is like it would be like a highly produced BuzzFeed quiz. Celebrity BuzzFeed quiz of
yeah.
like trying to guess who the person is.
Right.
And if those BuzzFeed quizzes are something that you appreciate engaging with, I'm not going to badmouth them.
Uh-huh.
But to me, part of the enjoyment is the long form. And I don't want to call it drama because it's not like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not of anything significant. The Bachelor has more drama in it.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. They do the same stuff to where they draw stuff out.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I didn't have like the kind of like that long form like experience living with these people, that like I wouldn't want to watch a 5 minute condensed version of a Bachelor episode.
No, not at all. Because it's not about who wins, right? It's about watching the drama mm-hmm. along the way,
mm-hmm.
right?
And while this one isn't like dramatic and like experiencing all the process of what they're going through, like in The Bachelor, what I appreciate is the time that is allowed for this to be a social thing for me.
Yeah.
If it was a YouTube video, Julie and I don't have the amount of back and forth that we had in guessing these things. So
yeah.
it gives me the time. So I just want to, before I ask you
yeah.
Whether you like this or not, I wanted to plead my case that I feel like I'm more likely to watch another episode of this
yeah.
than I am to watch any highlight reels of this on YouTube. Because of the social aspect.
Are you talking about the social between you and your
between
wife?
Between me and my wife.
More, not social checking Twitter.
On Twitter.
Okay.
And I guess like really a 5-minute condensed version that's just archived is going to lose the Twitter component anyway.
Yeah, right.
But the Twitter component wasn't as exciting to me as like sitting next to my wife and, yes. and having this prediction, this like group prediction thing. So
yeah.
If that makes any difference, I just want to tell you it makes a difference for me.
Yeah. And it's funny because I watched it by myself because, you know, my wife wasn't feeling well and went to bed early. And so I'm like, okay, well, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to watch something in my queue? Or
that might be the reason why you even gave it a chance beyond a minute to begin with.
That is really, really apt because I think I was in a spot where I was searching for something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the path of least resistance, right? There was the least amount of friction of just pressing the button and that was already on, already mm-hmm. playing right into the heart of it. I think I know I never would have gone into Hulu and then started from episode one and press it and said, okay, let's give this a shot. Let's right. try it out and see, you know, see if it's up to snuff, see if I like it. I never would have done that. But because it was there for me already, I got into it.
And I have no ambitions to go back and watch episode one.
Yeah, you don't need to.
I do think that I'm going to make an appointment to watch episode two with my wife. So this is what I want to ask as a test for do you not like this?
Okay.
Are you willing to watch episode three with somebody? Whether it be Carol
mm-hmm.
or one of your kids. I think it's, I mean, it. I didn't run it through the kid filter, but I don't know. You watched as much as I did.
It's past their bed. Well, maybe it's not. I don't know.
It's on at 9.
So yeah, it's bedtime.
It's right. past my kid's bedtime.
Right.
So.
At least we're watching it live anyway, right?
Right.
Here's the thing, is there are so many other things that I am
yeah.
behind on, things that I really like. I like The Good Place.
Mm-hmm.
I am so far behind on that,
mm-hmm.
That I, and frankly, that's probably what I was going to turn on when I got, you know, to the TV and it was, when I got to the TV and it was up and it was and the doodles and boodles. If I were similarly just in desperate need of entertainment and looking for something that I can have on while I'm messing around on my phone,
mm-hmm.
you know, reading articles and whatnot, I might have it on. But I don't think I would go out of my way to seek it. I don't think that and here's the other thing, is if I don't, when I'm watching Wheel of Fortune, like, if I'm flipping channels and Wheel of Fortune happens to be one of them, and then the puzzle's halfway through and I'm like, oh, I really want to see what that, mm-hmm. what this word is or this phrase is. So I'm going to finish out just this next minute or so that I can see what it is to satisfy that curiosity.
Sure. Similar mindset for this?
Yes.
Because you don't make an appointment to watch Wheel of Fortune every
night. No, I avoid that OCD part of my brain of needing the completion of like, was I right? What was this? I see this puzzle in front of me and I need closure on it.
Mm.
I avoid that conundrum by just not watching Wheel of Fortune, by not, playing Candy Crush or, you know, that's not a good analogy. But so in a similar way, if I watch another episode of this, I'm in for the rest of the season, right? Because I'm going to know enough of the characters that I want. And okay, well, I want to know what, you know, the alien is, and I want to know what the, you know, the bird is, or, you know, whatever. I would be just as happy to receive a list at the end of the thing saying, this person was this, this person was this, this person was, or you're even better. Someone makes a compilation, a video. Here's the lead up. Here's the singing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the conversation afterwards. Who do you think it is? Oh, I think that's Mr. T.
That'd be great.
And then it says, I have to wait no more than 10 seconds. And they say, nope, it was Bill Cosby. You know? I would be just as happy to have, like, to me, the only thing that draws my interest is
the reveal.
Who is this?
Yeah.
Who is this? Can I guess it? No? Tell me who it is then. And frankly, it's not going to be people I really care about, right? If every person underneath those was a different actor from Saved by the Bell, then yes, I'm going to watch all of those and I'll be good.
All through.
I want to see him. I want to see Mark Paul Gosselaar, if he's a handsome man as a 50-year-old as he was as an 18-year-old.
Guaranteed Tom Hanks is one of them. So
I would watch
anything. I've got a reliable source in my fictitious mind.
Oh, good. I'm glad your mind is fictitious.
No, I have a nonfiction part of my brain and fiction side of my brain. That one comes from...
That helps.
Jekyll and Hyde. I'll let you pick
Jekyll and Hyde.
One.
Yeah. Good. It's Forrest Gump and Captain Phillips.
It'd be great if they had an entire show of The Masked Singer.
Yeah.
And it was all characters of the same actor.
Oh, yeah. All Tom Hanks characters.
Or all Will Ferrell characters.
Ooh, I like that. Robin Williams characters. That'd be a nice one. Something like that.
That'd be a lot of holograms.
Too soon. I guess he's deceased. It's not improper to point that out.
So.
But the way you were giggling and rubbing your hands while you did it, that's improper.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I hate Robin Williams.
Oh, man.
No, I love Robin Williams.
Okay, good. Good. Let's make that clear.
I'm rubbing my hands because I need a punt on this. So given all the information.
Yeah.
Do you like this enough to watch another live episode?
Well, to watch one more episode, I'd be open to watching that. And I know, you know, my wife likes The Voice. My wife likes American Idol, although I don't think she's seen it in a while. But she likes stuff like this. She will get into this.
You think so?
She will get into this for sure. Any singing show, any dancing show.
The singing part of it is kind of super lame, though. Except for when, like, the bee started singing and you were like, oh my gosh, this has got to be one of the greatest singers of all time.
Right. But
and they paid them demonstratively more than any of the other celebrities that are on there.
Yeah. Well, and so the times that I've been in the room while she's watching The Voice or something like that, you know, these are very skilled filmmakers, right? And they make and they produce content that is very engaging, tells a story, gets you sucked in. I have no doubt that I could get into this. But I don't think that the end result is going to be worth that wait, right? And worth the time investment to me because I find the judges irritating, except for Ken Jeong. I think the whole lead up to it, the parts that I really, really care about, to answer your question, I could watch another one. I don't want to, though. Because there's a lot of other things that I'm way more into that I would rather spend my limited night time on. And if I watch one more, I'm going to want and need to satisfy that part of my brain that says, no, we need to finish this puzzle and find out who everything is. And I don't want to put another one of those things into my psyche right now.
You're right. You're on the right side of history watching The Good Place.
So no, I don't. I'm sorry. I don't like this enough to continue. It was a happy accident that left me entertained for the 35 to 40 minutes that I saw last night when I needed some entertainment. And I think it's a one night stand. We'll call it good and part and just have a fond memory of that.
I always like when my mom tells the story of her one night stand and how I'm a happy accident.
Oh, wow. Well, this is the audience right now. is that real? All
right, well.
Oh, my God.
I think.
Is he sorting through some things right now? What's going on?
Are we, what are we, 3-2?
You have 4 points.
Four?
And I've got 3 points.
1,000-0?
No, that's not it. No, that's not it at all. No, you're just reeling from that revelation about your mom, I guess, has screwed up your math.
Well, you inch one win closer.
A little bit closer.
And we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks for listening.